Colin Powell's memoir, It Worked for Me, distills complex leadership principles into accessible wisdom through personal stories. At its core are his famous 13 rules that have transformed organizations worldwide. Rule 11 emphasizes that organizations must serve a purpose beyond profit. When addressing credit rating executives focused solely on minimizing losses, Powell reminded them their true purpose was helping people buy homes and educate children. Rule 12, don't take counsel of your fears or naysayers, emerged from Powell's Vietnam experience, where, after surviving an ambush, he realized leaders must control fear rather than let it control them. Perhaps most powerful is Rule 13. Perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. Powell illustrates this through a story about a Korean training exercise where his battalion had to march 20 miles back to camp. His operations officer suggested making it a qualifying march for the expert infantryman's badge. Though exhausted, the troops completed the difficult march and fell into formation for the final mile, singing cadence and waking the entire camp, demonstrating how optimism multiplies capabilities. Leadership begins with self-knowledge and maintaining perspective. From his teenage years working at J. Sixer's toy store in the Bronx, where the Russian-Jewish immigrant owner told him, "Colly, I want you should get an education and do well. You're too good to just be a schlepper," Powell learned the value of mentorship and hard work. To maintain perspective, Powell relies on family and everyday encounters. When he first wore the Army's new battle camouflage fatigues home in the 1980s, his 12-year-old daughter merely looked up from the television and announced, "Mom, the G.I. Joe doll is home." Powell warns against becoming what Major General Charles Geddes called busy bastards, those who work absurd hours and constantly generate new ideas. While he worked hard, Powell created environments where people could have lives outside the office. Perhaps most touching is his commitment to kindness, inspired by an elderly priest's wisdom. Always show more kindness than seems necessary, because the person receiving it needs it more than you will ever know. Powell's leadership philosophy centers on a fundamental truth: take care of your people, and they'll take care of you. Early in President Bush's administration, Powell had junior Mexico desk officers brief the president directly. No rehearsals, no PowerPoint. The officers excelled, and word spread quickly. The new secretary trusted us, so did the president. Powell believes trust must be given from the start, unless evidence suggests otherwise. He insists on making on-the-spot corrections. Never walk past a mistake, as this reinforces standards, teaches moral courage, shows you care about the mission, and prevents errors from spreading. When taking command, Powell established that the guys in the field are right and the staff is wrong, creating a system where staff worked for field units, not just for him, fostering mutual accountability. As Secretary of State in 2001, Powell found a department technologically stuck in the past. Working with Undersecretary Grant Green, he secured funding for 44,000 new computers, ensuring every desk in every embassy had internet access within 2 years. Powell's information management approach centers on four simple rules now hanging in intelligence offices worldwide. Tell me what you know, tell me what you don't know, then tell me what you think. Always distinguish which from which. He learned this approach through hard experience. During the 1991 Gulf War, the CIA claimed General Schwarzkopf was overestimating Iraqi tank and artillery destruction based on satellite imagery. The dispute revealed that satellite analysts were using narrow soda straw views, while Schwarzkopf relied on multiple sources, including pilot debriefings and aerial photos. Powell emphasizes that bad news doesn't improve with age. He always insisted his staff inform him about problems immediately. Early notification allowed me to provide guidance about potential solutions or approaches to avoid, he explains. Great leaders take followers beyond 100% to 150% of what seemed possible. This requires clear guidance, effective time management, and creating a unified team spirit. When starting with new staff, Powell provided detailed instructions including, never act on unclear instructions, never sign my name, avoid using personal money on my behalf, Beware the general want syndrome, where casual observations trigger expensive actions, and never make calendar commitments without approval. Time management was particularly crucial. Powell insisted on accurate calendars and phone logs, punctuality, and efficient meetings. He preferred written information to oral presentations, as writing encourages discipline and allows identifying inconsistencies in advance. General George Julwin's slogan, "One Team, One Fight," captures an essential leadership principle Powell embraced. As chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Powell commanded nothing but worked through influence and persuasion. Effective leaders must think through solutions several levels deep, examining secondary effects rather than settling for wishful thinking. The Powell Doctrine emerged after Desert Storm, though it exists in no military manual. While commentators emphasize overwhelming force, Powell prefers decisive force, achieving successful outcomes without necessarily burying your adversary. His approach begins with avoiding war when possible, using all diplomatic, economic, and political means first. But military force must remain visibly available to support diplomacy, serving as a credible deterrent. When force becomes necessary, it must be applied decisively with a clear political objective. Leaders must think operations through from start to finish, including exit strategies, while maintaining public support. Related to this is what Powell calls the pottery barn rule. If you break it, you own it. This concept emerged during his August 2002 meeting with President Bush about Iraq, where he cautioned that while our military could easily defeat Iraq's army, the aftermath would be chaotic and unpredictable. When war came in 2003, we achieved swift military victory but failed to establish control afterward, illustrating Powell's warning about post-conflict responsibilities. Throughout his memoir, Powell returns to a fundamental truth. Organizations don't accomplish things, people do. As Admiral Hyman Rickover said, organizations don't get things done. Plans and programs don't get things done. Only people get things done. Powell's most influential mentors weren't famous figures, but everyday people who shaped his character. Mr. Sixer, the immigrant toy store owner who urged him to finish his education. Miss Ryan, his demanding high school English teacher. Colonel Brookhart, who introduced him to military standards. In diplomacy, Powell found that human connections transcended political boundaries. When hosting then-Vice President Hu Jintao of China, he promised to show him the real New York, including buying him a hot dog from an immigrant vendor. Years later, whenever they meet, Hu's first words are always, "When do we get hot dogs?" This exemplifies Powell's hot dog diplomacy, building relationships through authentic human moments. Powell concludes with a simple yet profound observation. A life is about events, challenges met or not, successes and failures. But more than all these combined, it's about how we touch and are touched by the people we meet.